Okay, so let's do our talk. The original topic or title for tonight's talk I had written, Moving Forward into Life, The Power of Letting Go. So it is a topic. The talk will be on letting go. So it's been raining a lot. I don't know if you've noticed that. It's been raining a fair amount. And I live on a beautiful dirt road, a semi-dirt road, and there's a creek that goes along this dirt road. And the creek has been very high this year, and it amuses me to no end. I know it's very childish, but it amuses me to no end to throw a stick into the creek and watch it be swept downstream. And I was thinking about how really, like, the present moment is like that. Like, it's just flowing. It's going. It's like water going to the sea, our present moment. It's going. And then sometimes there's a boulder or a tree or some obstruction, and we get a little caught, like in our meditation, right? Like the present moment is right here the whole time. And then sometimes there's a little boulder and we get stuck, or there's something in the creek, so to speak, in that flow of the moment. Sometimes we can just go right around and connect right back into the present moment, but other times we get a little caught. We get stuck, so to speak. And then we're called upon to practice letting go. We might have to let go a million times. You know, if there's anything you get from tonight's talk, remember that letting go is never a one and done. It's a again and again and again. We can see this in our meditation practice again and again and again, letting go. So I guess the last bigger storm here, I mean, we've had rain since, but the last bigger storm here was 2 weeks ago. In fact, 2 weeks ago today, we lost our power for 5 days, but here it is. We've got power now. The present moment is happening. We're flowing. So 2 weeks ago, the power went out and there's no cell reception where I live. And so I decided to drive up out of my little neighborhood in the woods up to the paved road to contact PG&E and let them know what was going on. And I'm driving along and it's after dark and there's a big rock, like I would say small boulder in the middle of the road. And this is just like, this is such a metaphor for life, right? Like we go along and then the power goes out, or we go along and something else happens and we come to a stop. Sometimes with this particular boulder, I could just drive right around. It was no problem. Drive right around and keep going. But I thought it was interesting that week where so much, because my power was out for 5 days, there were so many opportunities. There were so many rocks in the road for me. So many rocks in the road. Maybe I'm speaking in metaphor, right? Like so many rocks happen in our road all the time. Sometimes small little things that we can just drive around, and other times big things. It's hard to let go and keep going, keep jumping into that stream of the present moment. It's like we get waylaid by the rocks in our road sometimes. So we're called upon to let go again and again and again. So there's a story. I was looking online trying to find where this Buddha story came from. I heard it originally from Howard Cohn and maybe Howie, maybe some of you know him, but in his Dharma talks. And I thought it was really appropriate for this topic. So there's a story about a man who went to the Buddha and he was like, Oh, wise one, I have 83 problems, right? My children are fighting. I have this health issue. The crops in the field aren't doing that well, and so on and so on. So many rocks in the road. So many rocks in the road. And this man was like, oh, wise one, can you please help me with these 83 problems? Now, this is a metaphor, right? Like 83, I don't know, maybe you have 700 problems or 700 rocks in the road. So many things we get caught on all the time. So the Buddha was like, he said, I can't help you with those 83 problems, but I can help you with the 84th problem. And the man was quite intrigued. He's like, oh, I didn't know I had 84 problems. Please tell me, how can you help me? And the Buddha said that your 84th problem is that you think that you have 83 problems, right? Like we are always thinking that we're hindered. There are all these rocks in the road. And really, actually, life is arising in just the way it is. It arises and it passes. The water flows in the creek faster when it's raining a lot, less in the dryness in the summer. The present moment is always flowing through us. So sometimes our problem is that we think that we have a problem. So I was on a hike once with a friend. And like we all do, sometimes it's actually really great sometimes to go on a walk with a friend if you have something that you one of those 83 problems. And I was going on and on with this friend, like this problem and examining it from all different angles. And this can be very useful actually to do this, right? Like we've all done this. But I came, like we were going uphill, and we came to this open spot where the view opened up. And it took my breath away, and there were no more problems, right? Like, just like that was a moment of letting go. Sometimes when we hear, oh, letting go, we feel like it's something that we have to use our willpower for, like squinch our face and stick our tongue out and try really hard to let go. But sometimes the letting go happens, and our task is to notice when that happens. There's a moment of freedom. The problems let go. It could be when there's a moment of awe, like that was happening for me, or joy, right? Like the problems let go. And so often we become wed to our problems and we forget to notice when there's a little bit of freedom and they open up. And we can see that all the time. Like little openings, little windows. And the instruction, our mindfulness instruction, is to actually notice when that happens, those moments of spaciousness. So when we let go, we always get something. So when we let go, we always get something. It's very easy to focus on the thing that we think we need to let go of, or the thing that we want to let go of. And we forget that when we let go, there's something else that is here, maybe a sense of ease or a sense of freedom, a sense of spaciousness. So on this example of the walk where I was going on about my 83 problems, when I opened up, when the view opened up, there was a moment of letting go and there was ease and spaciousness. So we are always getting something when we let go. Letting go is never a one-time thing. We might have to let go many, many times. So 2 weeks ago, when the power was out for 5 days, some of the days I was able to just roll with all the problems that came up from not having power for so long. And other days I was really stuck on it. Like really like a little bit like a dog with a hot spot that wouldn't leave it alone, like right? So what do we do when that letting go is difficult? What do we do? How do we support ourselves? I know you know so many ways. If we opened this group up for discussion, we would actually be able to learn from each other so many different ways doing meditation. We're practicing letting go in some ways is like a skill that we're practicing in our meditation practice, or maybe going in nature. Our moments of joy, moments of mindfulness, a moment when the hummingbird comes, or doing a dance, right? Like putting music on and dancing, or going in the garden and doing gardening, or going on a walk. For me, it's lots of physical stuff because it really can be quite supportive if we have our body support us in that letting go. Because the letting go is not always a mental thing. It can be a physical thing too. We can feel it, patterns of tension and contraction in the body. So letting go, we practice again and again and again. And it's not just a mental activity. It's a physical reality. We can also remember that this practice of letting go, it's the power of letting go and moving forward into life, that it's a practice, not a perfect. It's messy. It's not like we're just going to figure out what we need to let go of and let go of it and move forward and be. I mean, maybe that would be the thing, but it's generally speaking in life, it's always a practice, not a perfect. We're practicing letting go together. So there's many things that we can let go of. Sometimes I feel like the trick about letting go, or the place where we need discernment, the place where we need wisdom, is starting to or trying to understand what is the thing to let go of. Like, what is the thing to let go of? And sometimes we're not sure, and that's why it could be a practice. We could practice, we could try and see what happens. Is there something that we gain, some sense of ease or some sense of freedom when we let go? So maybe we could let go of letting go of, let's see, the need for things to be perfect, or the letting go of self preoccupation, or letting go of opinions. And all of these things are not like, when I say letting go of opinions, I don't mean, it's quite nuanced, right? I don't mean that you don't have an opinion. It's letting go of our clinging to the opinion. It's really our holding on, whether it's a mental holding on, a sort of a whole citta, which is mind heart, which is like involving the body, a somatic kind of holding onto our opinions, or holding on to the idea that we're right and everyone else is wrong, or self-righteousness, or ooh, how about outrage? This is a very popular one right now with social media, like letting go of our outrage. What would happen if we let go of our outrage? Would there be more ease and freedom? Would you have more bandwidth to meet the problems that you're outraged about? I mean, I think it's an interesting question. So, clinging or holding on is exhausting, and letting go in general is restful. So, from Gil Fronsdale, he said, renunciation should bring joy. So, I'm really right. I didn't use this word yet, renunciation. That's a very Buddhist word, renunciation. But letting go should bring joy, or at least a lightness of being. So the letting go requires an inner change. And it's not necessarily so much about the outer world. It's an inner change. It's an inner freedom, a freedom in our own heart. There are sometimes we might do an external letting go without a corresponding internal letting go. So this year, from winter solstice, so from December until spring equinox, I decided to let go or have renunciation around added sugar in my diet. So it's a letting go, it's a renunciation. It's really, I'm not actually even thinking about it as a health thing or as a like a moral obligation. It's a letting go practice out of curiosity, as an example for me to see what is it like to let go, and can I, in addition to letting go of the external, is there an internal letting go too? Or am I still completely obsessed with, so I started watching the Great British Bake Off. I'm a little late, so this is a reality show about baking things. And so it's very interesting to be on a sugar renunciation and watching a TV show that's all about baking sugar. But again, right, it's not about the external, it's about an inner freedom. It's an inner freedom. Like, do I need the external to line up so that there can be ease and happiness? So often we think that the world needs to be a certain way, or we need to have a certain thing to be free, or to be happy, or to be complete. But I might wonder if that's not actually true, if that's not true. Our inner freedom, as Sylvia Boorstein says, happiness is an inside job, right? Like this internal. So letting go of the idea that I should be different, that the world should be different, that my loved ones should be different. I also went, let's see, last week I went down to visit some friends to do a teaching weekend in the Bay Area. And I was staying at a friend's house, and she had a two like 9 or 10 month old kittens, and they were so cute, and they were very affectionate and purring so much, and the cutest little kittens. And I have a cat that I call Tiger that was a rescue cat that someone had left in the woods by my house. And so he's pretty fierce. He's affectionate, but he's not an affectionate in the same way as two indoor kittens who've never had to fend for themselves for some months outside. And I was like, for a while, I was thinking, oh, I wish my cat, I wish Tiger were different. I wish Tiger were different. And kind of comparing Tiger to these other cats. I mean, have you ever done this? Kind of compared a loved one to someone else? Like, oh, I wish they were different. Like, I wish Tiger was different. If he could only be just a little more, like gentle and affectionate. But actually, like, that's a violence against Tiger. Tiger is amazing. Kitty cat. Tiger is Tiger. He's completely himself. Couldn't be any different. He's beautiful. So this letting go in my mind of needing Tiger to be different actually allowed a lot more love to come through for him and how he is. Does that make sense, right? Like we have these ideas about how other people, other things should be. And often our ideas block our ease, our freedom. They can block even our ability to respond appropriately in the moment. So letting go of our judgments. Letting go of our preoccupation, letting go of our preoccupation of with the faults of another person. Have you ever done this? Like be mad at someone or irritated at someone and be preoccupied with their faults? So a willingness to let go of a preoccupation with the faults, or maybe we do this with our own selves too. Sometimes we can be preoccupied with our own faults. And so a willingness to let go of that. I was thinking about judgment this morning and how like our judgments can be really narrow and confining. It's like a preoccupation with that problem, whether it's with ourself or with someone else. And it's not that we don't see the difficulties. I'm not saying that you should pretend to not see the difficulties or the problems. And I'm not saying that we should not have boundaries in the outer world, but a willingness to let go of that preoccupation. It's like an and practice. Like, oh, we have these challenges, or I have these challenges in my life. And what else is here? What else is here? Oh, this moment, or the hummingbird, or that moment of ease, or that moment of spaciousness. So, a willingness to let go of that tight preoccupation, a willingness to let go of being overly busy. I mean, so many things we could let go of, willingness to let go of our self preoccupation. When I lived down there, traffic was so difficult for me, and there were many different Dharma talks about traffic. So many different Dharma talks about traffic, right? There's so many lessons in our challenges. And really, at one point, or somebody said this to me, I think probably someone said this to me about how when we're in traffic, We think about all those other people that are blocking our way, when actually that's a very self preoccupied centered thing, right? Like I, when I'm in traffic, I actually am the traffic and we are the traffic together. So a willingness to let go of our self preoccupation. Or how about a willingness to let go of our, so let's see, a willingness to let go of our preoccupation with our preferences. So I'm not saying that we necessarily need to get rid of all our judgments, get rid of all our preferences. We can see our judgments, we can see our preferences, and we don't have to take it so seriously. So this is what I mean. When I was young, many years ago, some 30 years ago, when I was late 40 years ago, I don't know, I can't do math right now. At any rate, some time ago in my late teenage years and early 20s, I would have preferences, I still do actually, around people who I preferred to be around, who I didn't prefer, who I liked and didn't like. And if I had a preference to not like someone, I wouldn't necessarily be rude or mean, but it was like that person didn't exist anymore. And that's so interesting, right? We can get so locked onto our preferences. And really, like how much was I not, like there's so many gifts. Every person has so many different gifts, and everybody's so different too. I mean, we all change so much over the years. And I think it's a little false or odd that we might decide at some point that somebody is like this and we prefer to not like them. And then we hold them and ourselves to that for so long. I mean, that is a kind of suffering, a kind of harming for the other person and for ourselves too. So a willingness to let go of our preferences, or how would I say that? Let go of our clinging to our preferences. So, you know, I live more rurally now. I used to live in the East Bay, and there's some people up here that have different political views than me. I don't know if you've encountered those people. I'm not talking about people online. I'm talking about neighbors, people I see in real life, because that's different. It's not different because people are people. But when there's a person that's right in front of me, like maybe I can let go of my preference and actually open and learn something and have a little bit more sense of ease. Because remember, letting go is restful. That renunciation, as Gil says, renunciation brings joy or some lightness. So, preferences, opinions, self-preoccupation, judgments. I've been thinking about letting go of judgments. I've been thinking about this too, and how it could be interesting to, in the meditation, count how many judgments come up. Like instead of playing bingo, like you're filling your bingo card with how many judgments you can get, right? So there could be some humor to the whole thing too, this letting go process, so that it doesn't turn into some sort of grim, oh, I have to let go kind of thing, right? It's like a little bit of humor. Like how many judgments? How many judgments? Because we don't have to believe everything we think. We really don't. It's probably better if we don't believe everything we think. We can just count how many judgments in one meditation or how many judgments in one day, and then keep going, right? Like that river metaphor, that creek metaphor. We just keep going. There might be a rock in the river, and it's like a judgment or a preoccupation with the fault of somebody else, or a strong preference, and we get a little caught, and then boop, we can let go, and the river keeps going, and the water keeps flowing in the present moment, right? So, how many times we might need to? It might be 100 million times, and that's okay. It's a practice, not a perfect. Their cultivation of metta. I love how much this group is strongly focused on loving kindness, on metta, this quality of friendliness and goodwill. And metta is a willingness to let go of the preoccupation with the faults of another, is to see, right, the proximate cause, so the closest cause to the cultivation, or the closest cause of metta, is seeing the good in another being, seeing the good in another being. So a willingness to let go of our preoccupation with the faults of ourselves and others. So Martin Luther King Jr., he talks about how to love our enemies, and he talks about a willingness to let go of our need, even our own minds, to defeat the difficult person or the enemy. So it's a willingness to let go. This is a very courageous path, isn't it? I feel that it's very courageous sometimes. It's quite tender. We let go of all these blocks. We let go and we flow, flow, flow. And it can be tender and challenging, and it takes courage. And we need all our practices. We need our meditation practice. We need our Dharma talks. We need each other. We need our communities. But it's not something that you have to do by yourself. I think that's another thing where it's a little bit of a misunderstanding, where we think, oh, I have to let go of this thing all by myself. But it's not true. It's not actually how this world works. We are deeply embedded in this world. So there are supports for us for letting go. Dogen, who is a Zen teacher from, I think, the 12th or 13th century, he talks about how the trees and the rivers and the mountains are cheering us on. I think that's so beautiful. If we could open, this is very non-rational, and maybe your mind doesn't work this way. Of course, it might not. But I like to think that maybe I don't have to let go of that which is weighing me down by myself, that maybe the trees and the mountains and the rivers would help me, and you would help me, and I would help you. Sometimes, if there's a rock in our road, we ask for help. Or if we see somebody else who's got a rock in their road, we can help them. Or we can do a yoga practice, or we can dance, or we can cry. Sometimes a good cry actually can really help with that letting go. There's so many ways to let go. It's not like it's one way, one time. It's this alive practice that's onward leading to freedom, onward leading to ease, to lightness. So, from Gil Fronsdale, to release is to find freedom. To release is to find freedom. And to find freedom is to know a happiness that is not dependent on anything. So this path and practice is a finding an inner freedom, an inner ease, even if there's a really big rock in your road, even if you have 84 or 83, I guess is the story, 83 problems. To release is to find freedom, and to find freedom is to know a happiness that is not dependent on anything. All right, my friends, that's what I have for you. Let's take maybe just a little bit of silence here. You might take two or three breaths. Your eyes can be opened or closed. It doesn't matter. And it's almost as if the whatever I've said, if it's of use, you can let it soak in. And if it's not of use, it can run, it can flow to the ocean. You'll notice that you're sitting here. Notice the fullness of the moment, the suchness of the moment. So if you're thinking, notice that. Notice the light, the sounds, your breath, the fullness of the moment. If you can jump into that river of nowness.